A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KZNS FM Colville, 1280 KZNS AM Salt Lake City. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Every time the ball lands in my hands, since I started playing football, it's just the mentality to score. Whether it's offense or defense, these days you only get defensive opportunities, and so it was just the same sort of situation, just needed to score, and just do what I had to do.
Third and long, LeGod's going to get intercepted, picked off, it's Tooley, Max Tooley to the end zone, BYU, touchdown.
Welcome on in, everybody. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. That's fun little music coming back there, Jerry.
Was that Max tooling his way into the end zone? Is that what was going on there?
You can't start out the show like that.
I am. It's Friday. It's Dad Joke Friday.
Oh, my gosh. Max Tooley, yeah, threw a shoe. He did throw a shoe. He got a penalty for it. You can't throw a shoe anymore, you know. I think it was Zach Daw that did it a couple of years ago at Tennessee. I was at that game in Knoxville when he did it. And when he did it, I remember we were pretty far up in the booth. And the shoe was clearly seen being thrown. I mean, it looked like it was a discus throw. And last night, Max Tooley's throw, and he didn't get called for anything then back in Tennessee. Max Tooley's throw last night, more of a flip, still kind of a – it was definitely a – it was definitely – it had some, what we call, piss and vinegar on the whole situation. You know, that's how –
it had some intent.
Intent. Yes, that's how these rivalry games go. I think that is a snapshot of the rivalry game last night. And I think that after, you know, 18 hours or so of being able to kind of ruminate on that whole thing last night, the first half for BYU fans was very forgettable. It was very forgettable in this BYU-Utah State game. And I think in the end, Scott, you said it right before we went on the air. Because we had somebody asking us about it. By the way, we're down here at the Juab County Fairgrounds.
Would you like me to say it now?
I want you to say it right now.
Okay. What was I saying?
See?
No, I'm just kidding. Everyone's all bent out of shape about the game. And it's like you don't win by enough and this and that and whatever. And a lot of these games are like they're unwinnable games, right? But here's the deal. Everyone needs to just take a chill pill, relax for 2 seconds. It's a rivalry game. Anything can happen. It's not only a rivalry game, but it's on a short week.
Yeah.
So you don't have practice. You don't have your normal routine. You have all kinds of things that get in the way. You're trying to figure stuff out. There's just all kinds of stuff that it doesn't make it like BYU's defense can't stop the run or their offense can't go against the run. I mean, there's just a ton of factors, but really. The biggest factor is it's a rivalry game. And when you're in a rivalry game, anything can happen.
On a short week especially.
On a short week.
And I thought, you know what? A lot of people need to probably hear that. And I probably needed to hear it last night when people were calling in the Cougar postgame show last night, Scott. Oh, my heavens. And I said, this is a good look. This is a nice luxury. This is good prep for you to go into the Big 12 because you're talking like Big 12 fans. We didn't win by enough. And it was like, what are we talking about here? Now, here's the part that looked ugly, though, because I don't want to look at a game and go, Yeah, but that looked like garbage, but it's a rivalry game. I'll tell you what looked terrible, because it's actually looked terrible the last three games. Is that when BYU had negative 21 yards rushing in the first half, everybody up in the press box is looking at each other and going, okay, what on earth is going on with this run game? Certainly there are questions, and you're allowed to question. You can question all of it. But BYU fans walking away 4-0 from a game like this, and Utah State fans who are – I mean, I forget how much Utah State hates BYU.
Sure.
I forget every year it comes around, I go, Alex, they don't hate them that
Alex,
much.
Most people hate BYU. If you're not a BYU fan, it's not no, just like, they're not another team. Okay. They're not San Diego State. They're BYU. People don't like them. Don't so ask me why.
Week, so
just,
last week it was,
folks just
hey,
don't
how
like
come,
them.
Hey now, it's the old adage. If you run into 10 jerks a day, you're probably the jerk, right? Which is, and the word jerk is the nice one, right?
Right, yeah.
So we were talking about this. Every team, when Wyoming comes into town, goes, I hate BYU. BYU goes, what? What are you talking about? This is nice. We're playing each other again.
We're neighbors.
Utah Wyoming's State goes,
a nice place.
I freaking hate BYU. You go, what? This has got some, this isn't even that much of a rivalry game for us. You go, hey, BYU, just wanted to let you know. Everybody else says they hate you, but it's maybe it's because you're hateable. And I'll tell you right now, last night, for coaches to be fired, okay, people were calling for – I'm telling you, you get all sorts of things. This is why post-game is fun, because it's raw, it's immediate, and people the next day go, yeah, I probably went a little bit too far, and I want this guy fired. And that's not and that all gets – that doesn't get filtered out on the postgame show. So that's where we were there. Let's kick off the program here, though. I've got a lot to jump into here. As always, the show brought to you by G2G Bars. Let's jump into the cut right here on the program on a Friday.
The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut. And the show brought to you by G2G Bars, preservative-free in your refrigerated section at your local Associated Foods, Holiday Oil, Maverick, all of it. You're going to love it. Scott, we are at the – I mentioned it before. We're down here at the Juab County Fairgrounds. We come here twice a year. And this is always a fun one because now it's the Extreme Bull Riding, and you can get your Extreme Bull tickets. This is the final event of the PCRA season for these guys to be able to kind of earn their way to Vegas, get some get in the money. And so that means the wildest bulls, the craziest cowboys, all of it going on tonight. UteStampedeRodeo.com is a website if you want to get some tickets. Yeah, tonight, 7 p.m., you got some time. It's exactly an hour. Actually, you, if you're Scott Mitchell, you may get 50 minutes from Draper. So Point of the Mountain to right here, 50 minutes. I mean, so people might think to themselves, oh, that's further than Tooele. And you go, no, no, we're right here. This is
no, it's
perfect.
Close. This is a fun event. This is a great event.
You awesome.
Want to come see it.
We're going to be here all afternoon. So when you have a game like this, Scott, and people freak out about it, and they start going nuts about this thing, and I watched even some BYU coaches who chirped at some of the media who were critical last night, and I thought, that's not a good look. Fessy Satake going after a local writer down in Provo, I thought, right. You know what, on the one hand, I get it because, you know, it's easy to go, hey, the media doesn't know what they're talking about, they didn't play, whatever. But Fessy Satake needs to walk away from Twitter and probably not say anything because that's a fired up situation directly after a game and say, you want to come to our offensive meetings and kind of figure this thing out? The answer is no. you don't want that guy at your offensive meeting, and you don't need to chirp at that guy either. Everyone needs to settle down and step back. You have 10 days till BYU faces Notre Dame.
But typically coaches know this. Like coaches go, it's football season, it's social media off season. We are not involved. We're not going to look at it. We're not going to react to it. Whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. And so that's a little surprising to me that Fessy actually said something. It really is.
But that just shows you how fired up I think that these guys are when somebody goes, fire this dude, fire that guy.
Wait,
the offense is
up?
Terrible. No, I'm saying the coaches after the game,
you're
it was,
always going to have people criticize. You just got to turn all that stuff off. You can't. The worst thing you can do is react and respond to that situation. It's just better off just drop it, go on, move on. Because if you're responding to it, then it's validating what people are saying. One way, it doesn't matter. Either way, it's people are just going to go, ah, see, we're, you know, maybe we're right, and we're getting under these coaches' skin. Why are we getting under their skin? Because they're worried. Maybe they feel like they don't have any answers. I mean, okay, I told you something, and maybe I'll share it right now. This is going to sound like oversimplistic and maybe even close to moronic, but it's actually 100% factually true, okay? People make football out to be super hard, and it really isn't. And it really isn't. So if you watch a game and you watch a defensive alignment where they put a lot of people, don't run the ball there, okay? I know this sounds so dumb, but it's so simple. Hey, so if they're putting everybody inside, they got all these big fat bodies inside, don't go in there, okay? Pretty simple.
Okay, Scott, why don't you show up at our offensive meeting tomorrow then, you doofus?
I would gladly show up, all right? And if they just got a couple of guys in there and everybody's out on the edges, don't run wide. Don't run lateral.
You know when it started working for BYU?
When they ran straight ahead.
When Chris Brooks started gashing him up the middle, right?
Right. It's magic. I know it sounds so. You can only run straight ahead.
Uh huh.
You can run.
Hold on, let me write this down. What are they?
Straight ahead.
Okay.
Off tackle.
Got it.
Or outside. There's three places you can run.
Slow down.
Okay.
I'm still trying to take notes.
Straight ahead.
Okay.
Off tackle, or on the edge. All right. Outside. All right.
So
if they're outside, don't run out there. If they have fast players, do not run laterally. If they have undersized players, do not run laterally. Run straight ahead. It's very simple.
Hold on.
Very simple.
Is this just one of these?
No, let me tell
you. I don't like this. This is a quarterback going,
no,
doesn't work.
Hand me the ball, let me throw it.
Look,
I thought I was wrong about this. I thought I was being too simplistic about this. But I'm just telling you, I'm so right about it. And I just remember, like, many, many years ago, putting a note in my head just going, don't overcomplicate this.
Don't try to run your head against a brick wall.
Don't do it. If they're all inside, don't run inside. And it's not don't run. It's just where do you run? And it's a offensive lineman. They love when they're in a position where they have leverage, where they have an angle. Because guess what? Their job is about 90% done just by alignment. But when you're asking an offensive lineman to block someone who's already in the place where the play is going to happen,
right?
It's like they feel dejected. They feel like they're not doing their job. And you're asking them to do something that's impossible. These guys want to – like, there's a great clip of Joe Theismann. And the Dallas Cowboys are beating the Washington Redskins are beating the crap out of the Dallas Cowboys. And at Randy White, who is old and is tired. And they go 50 gut, right up the gut, 50 gut. The offensive linemen are, like, telling Joe Theismann in the huddle, run it again. And everybody run it again. And he ran it about 9 times in a row. You know why? Because it works. Like, it's not going to change. You know what's going to change? If they put everybody inside. And once they put everybody inside, then run outside. But until then, run 50 guys.
You're saying that those offensive linemen don't know how to reach block? How dare you?
No, I'm saying.
That they don't want to reach block? That they don't want to pull? Come on.
No. Yeah, pull if the polling is there. It's not that complicated.
All right.
Not that complicated.
Hey, everybody. Scott figured it out for you, BYU fans. You're going to be fine. He figured it out for you. It's you go ahead. Hold on. Gosh, I knew I was going to forget it.
Straight up the
okay.
middle.
Okay.
Off tackle.
Okay.
Or outside.
Or out of the outside. All right. Lots going on, of course, because.
Do you want me to give you passing now?
I feel like we don't have enough time.
It's almost simpler than that.
You throw it over the middle?
Throw it to our guys.
Okay. Throw it to our guys.
Throw it to our guys.
Cooper Legault had a little bit of an issue with that.
Throw it to our guys.
He was putting it into a really bad position. Well, not bad.
But couldn't last night be a little bit confusing, though?
I mean,
because you got Navy, which it kind of looked like BYU colors at one point, and then you got this royal blue. Yeah. And
no, it's always a little bit. It throws you off. I will tell you, too, Utah State was feeding off the fact that BYU's fans on a 3rd and 9 stretch handoff to a short side of the field started booing when they lost a yard on a 3rd and 9 stretch handoff. And the stadium started booing. Utah State fans turned around to the crowd and they start going, yeah, bring it. Let's go. Like, let's keep this going. And it fires people up even more. And that's the thing that people walk away from. They remember that. Because I told you this too when you win a game that is a rivalry game, normally, for some reason, everybody just thought, 1-3 Utah State, short week, broken foot on their quarterback. This one's an easy one. Sign this one up. This is the 24-point win because Vegas says it's a 24-point win. And what happened last night is everybody looked at it and they go, if BYU beats Utah and you go, yeah, but that was an ugly win. There's no such thing on a rivalry game. No one goes,
but you know
they should have beat them by
but
so much more.
You know what they say in that game, though? Well, they beat Utah because they had Charlie Brewer playing. They had all these young. There's always an excuse.
Sure.
Here's what happens at the end of the season, and it always happens this way. That people just look at your record. They don't go back through and they go, well, how'd they do last year? Like, they don't sit there and they don't say, well, you know, they won this game, but, you know, not by a lot. Or hey, they lost that game and they really shouldn't. Like, there's no excuses. You know, it's that whole, your record is who you are. Winning, I don't care what level, what opponent, what night, what right, it doesn't matter. Winning, you need to appreciate however you get it.
All right, so.
However you get it.
So when somebody goes, hey, it's college football. It's the Big 12. Like, they go, it's hard to win a college football game. Everybody loves saying that, right?
And that's well, it not, is.
I know, but it rings true even last night, except for we forget week to week. We forget week to week because you go, I know the narrative of this game. I know how this one's going to work out. I'm a fan. I've watched the whole thing. I know how this is going to work. And then when it doesn't, you go, man, I hate this team. They only won that game by 12 points. It's a double-digit win over a fired-up, pissed-off, sad team because their quarterback has not just gone for the season. It's not just a next-man-up situation. This kid's career's over, right? And the team gets it, and they're told earlier in the week, and then they go, fire this one up, and let's do this for Logan. Let's do this for Logan Bonner. And the kid's going to be, you know, I mean – you think about winning a Mountain West championship and then having an ACL tear and then having a broken foot on top of it, and you go, this is such a sad deal for this kid. That team came in, and they were like, no one's giving us a chance. It was the same thing that you've ever seen in any movie play out, that somebody showed up with the desire to fight, and they do.
And that's a rivalry game.
And that's it.
And then we talked about that on the air the other day. You can throw out schedules, rankings, whatever. When a rivalry happens, things are different. They just are. And when you have something that kind of can rally the team, your quarterback goes down. But Cooper Legault, he's a kid that has played before and won a bowl game before. So the team has confidence in him. And he's excited. He's like, this is awesome. I get a chance to come back home and play in front of the hometown folks. You're going to get the very best game out of them. That's just the way it is. That's not going to change. Okay, I do want to say something, though, about there may be some validity to what the fans are saying.
Gosh, we just went through all this.
I know.
We just did all this groundwork to let people understand.
But here,
this is a Big 12.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing that's a little different. When you're a really, really good football team, you just take care of your business. You play to a standard. You play to a certain way. And when you're supposed to beat a team, you handle them and take care of your business, and you take care of it from the very beginning of the game. I'm not totally seeing that from BYU. If I'm being completely
candid, and all that.
And
Kalani Sitake said it this week. He goes, we haven't put together a game yet where we felt like we know all the stuff we need to fix, and we know what we're going to do, and we're going to go out and do it. And it was the same result, like with the bad penalties, with the run game getting to the slow start stuff, which you and I talked about earlier in the season. And I think I know what was the suggestion on how to not start slow.
Well,
it was to start fast.
Right. Well, no.
That was it.
No, but it's how do you start fast? And you change the tempo. You go no huddle. You script the first 15 plays of the game. There's a lot of ways to change the tempo of a game early on, and you get into this more attacking mode, and it gets you going in the game, but it also kind of gets your opponent back on their heels. And I mean, it's a real thing. I love it, and it does work. And it does happen. And you have to change things. But here's the thing, BYU is going to get away with this until they don't. And I'm just telling you, they're going to have a game they should win. And if they continue in their wayward ways with this, in their kind of lackadaisical focus ways, it'll jump up and bite them. And unfortunately, just as humans, That's how we learn, is we get overconfident, we get lackadaisical, and someone beats us, and then we get all ticked off, and then we refocus, and we get back to how we are. Teams that are championship teams take care of business every single day. It doesn't matter who the opponent is.
So you know what the number one thing people were ticked about last night on the postgame show was?
No free giveaways?
Well, there's always that. Where's the freebie? Come on, man. The thing that was really was irking people, and they just kept bringing this up. You'll never be able to do this in the Big 12. You're not going to get away with this in the Big 12. People kept bringing that up and be like, now, when you're in Big 12 play, you'll never get away with this. And
I thought, Division One football!
There it is.
It's
you know
Big
what? You
12.
Know what's going
to
Well, here's the thing. You're going to go to the Big 12, and you're either going to grow up and put your big boy pants on, or you're going to get your butt kicked. I mean, and you're going to keep getting your butt kicked until you decide to put your big boy pants on. I mean, it's, you know, that's just kind of how it is. What does happen, though, is when you start playing that better competition, week out, that's where your program grows. That's where you get better. The tougher the competition, the higher the expectation, it raises the level of play. And that's just something that will evolve over time.
All right,
that just takes time.
I want to hear from BYU's head football coach, Kalani Sitake, real quick before we get out to the break here first. Kalani talking after the game about the slow starts again, which affected the team last night. Again, take a listen.
Give credit to the offenses that we're playing against, but also just find a way to make plays and don't make mistakes. I think the easiest thing would be playing assignment sound football and make better decisions. As far as, you know, I think we had first drive, I think it was 15-yard penalty on Batty, and it was just not smart. I mean, I think he pushed the guy's head into the ground and stuff like that, because come on, we're way better than that. And so just undisciplined stuff, and I just need the defensive players just to buy into what we're doing and play football in between the whistles. And I think if we do that, we'll be in better situation. So the aggression needs to be during the play of the game, not afterwards or not even before. It just has to be when the snap starts, and we're having a hard time adjusting to that. So we'll be focused on making sure we start better that way.
This is going to be a gift that keeps on giving for non-BYU fans going forward. Is I think it was Louis Lapuaho who punched the Boise State guy right in the old he punched him.
Sure.
So he came
in a part of his body.
Yeah. Right. And so last night it was Tyler Batty,
right,
who pushed one of the offensive linemen's face down into the ground after the play. And
yeah,
it was an obvious, like, the ref got his big flag out for it. He was like, no, that one's like, it was like one of those, like,
well, when they throw it right at you and hit you with the flag,
that's
when it's like egregious.
So,
double penalty if it hits you.
But it's on TV of him slamming the guy's head in the flag. Yeah. And I go, hey, BYU fans going forward, Louis Lapuaho, that was 100 years ago, it seems like already. But it doesn't matter, because every year somebody tweets out 1,000 times him punching that guy right in the,
the body part.
Yeah, got it. And then now it's going to be Tyler Batty slamming the kid's head into the – and then everybody goes, yeah, but 61 was being cheap too. I'm not – it doesn't matter, because 61 is doing it during the play. Come on, man.
The snake, and I
when
don't
no one's
like
seeing
you.
The play.
Yeah.
That's where you do it. It's like that. That's the conversation Kalani's going to have. He's going to say, don't do it out in the open. Wait till you're in a pile and then do it.
All right, here's what we're going to do.
Everything counts in the pile. You can get away with anything now.
We're going to take the break here.
It's 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. The Utes square off against Oregon State in a massive Pac-12 showdown this Saturday at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Your home for the best coverage of Ute football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is off the left side. That's Christopher Brooks, and that could keep the wagon wheel here in Provo. 18-yard touchdown by the transfer from Cal. And what you saw there, Lewis Riddick, is run to win.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is 97.5 EKSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. We are in Nephi at the Juab County Fairgrounds. UteStampedeRodeo.com is where you can get your extreme bull riding tickets for tonight, 7 p.m. You still have plenty of time to get down here, get those tickets. You can also get them at the door. You get a discount if you mention that you heard them right here on 97.5 EKSL Sports Zone. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, thanks for being with us. Mitch Harper joining us on the program, our BYU insider for KSOSports.com, hosts the Cougar Sports Saturday. Going to be a lot to talk about tomorrow for you and Matt Biamonte. Matt showed up with the hat on, and it was appropriate because of the Cowboys week before, but also because the wagon wheel stays in Provo. Mitch, have you ever seen a crowd more upset about a double-digit win over Utah State?
Oh, it's happened before. I mean, there's been games where BYU has came away with victories that on the box score would look like a decisive win, but the feel maybe didn't look as good, because we know, guys, that in college football, it's about perception, it's about how you're trending, and I know the cliche of a win is a win, but I think everyone looks ahead to the future of BYU football, and if they're trying to level up the program into the Big 12 era, that doesn't translate well to getting the win is a win mantra in the Big 12. Like how they played last night, that's probably not going to bode well in the future when you're going week after week against Power 5 competition. You know, that's been one of the nice things for BYU as an independent and even in their history, is that, you know, they'll play the big marquee brand programs like an Oregon, like a Baylor. But then, you know, you'll have those, you know, 2 or 3 weeks where it eases up quite a bit. And regardless of how you execute, BYU's got a better infrastructure and just more overall talent than the opponent. And despite some of the struggles and execution and lack of discipline at times, you can still win a ball game because you're simply better than your opponent. And, you know, those sort of things got to be fixed, because that's not going to work well when you go forward into the Big 12. And I think also, too, when you've got a superstar quarterback in Jaren Hall who continues to impress, you got to capitalize and deliver great performances week after week. But, yeah, I mean, still a win is a win, I guess. But I think it's fair for Cougar fans to still not be, you know, completely happy with, you know, what the product is in those first halves.
How much, though, can you put on a short week? Not as much time to practice and prepare. And believe me, I'm not offering excuses here. But also, you have right before the game, a couple of hours, you have a quarterback change, and you're probably preparing for one guy, you get another guy. And then also it's a rivalry game, and funny things happen in rivalry games. And I know everybody wants the team to act like they're a Big 12 team, and BYU is not going to act like a Big 12 team until they're playing that schedule every single week and for years. You know, right now they're an independent school. So is there some overreaction, and is there validity to these points that I've just brought up?
I think there's definitely validity. I think the quarterback component definitely changed a lot. I mean, Kalani, when I asked him about that, you know, he said they found out that day that Legault was going to be the starter. And I mean, they're two different quarterbacks. Legault, I think, gives Aggie fans, you know, hope that, you know, maybe they can make a late season run and maybe try to get into bowl contention. Maybe. I mean, he's pretty good. I thought he could change the whole outlook and trajectory of Utah State this season with him as QB1. And so I think that's valid. I think what maybe the frustration for BYU fans, you know, potentially lies is that the short week, Utah State was also facing the short week. BYU didn't have to leave home. And it seemed like the team that was 1-3 was the more prepared team, and they were more dialed in. And BYU looked like they were kind of, you know, maybe a team that was overlooking Utah State and getting ready for Notre Dame. I mean, because, you know, BYU has shown that under Kalani, they will play up to the competition, whether it's you know, a big marquee brand like a Notre Dame. They'll play well. I think BYU will play a lot better next week because I just think they'll be more dialed in. They understand the opportunity that'll be in front of them. But at the same time, they have this this kind of bad habit of sometimes playing down to their competition and maybe overlooking the opponent a little bit. And times it has backfired, like UAB last year. That's why I kind of thought that that was surprising to kind of get that sense coming out of the game last night, was because they had an embarrassing loss last year and they still won last night. But I would have thought that would have been a lesson for a veteran team. Like, never again can you overlook anyone. And I kind of got that vibe that there was maybe a little bit of looking past the Aggies, which, bad move, because, Utah State would made that thing a game for a lot longer than anyone expected, including myself.
We were watching this one from the booth, and I think there was a lot of head-scratching moments. The discipline came up. The lack of discipline, I think, from BYU was part of that. Is that just a rivalry game issue, or is it something that, this team still has to put together? Because it seems like week after week, Kalani has to say the same thing about starting slow, making mistakes, and while turnovers are not one of those mistakes that this team has made, which is a pretty insane thing to think about, this stretch that they've had of not giving the ball away, discipline keeps coming up with this team, and it seems like that's one of those things that is a coaching issue.
Definitely, and I think that it's surprising that they're having discipline issues, because it's an experienced team, in the top three and most experienced football teams in college football this year. And last season, BYU had a total of four defensive offsides the entire season over 13 games. This year, they've already got six defensive offsides. It's just these little penalties are extending drives, and it's adding to where BYU's defense can't get off the field. It's self-inflicted wounds, and that's where that's got to stop. And you can't have that, especially against better competition, too. And I think where some maybe concern going forward lies is that when you did face a team that, by recruiting rankings and by athleticism or whatever you want to measure it by, the last Power 5 team you faced, Oregon, they just ran you out of the building. And is that going to happen again against Notre Dame and Arkansas? Because I don't feel like the last 2 weeks made anyone feel that that's not out of the realm of possibility again. So I do think BYU will play better next week, because I don't think Notre Dame is as athletic as Oregon, and they definitely don't have as good of a quarterback as Oregon had, which I'm kind of surprised to say myself, because I wasn't that impressed with Bo Nix coming into this year, but he's been good for the Ducks. But I think that, it's not out of the realm of possibility, though, either. I just feel like there's a lot more mystery to this BYU team than I thought I'd be talking about through 5 weeks of the season.
Well, at halftime, there was a negative 21 yards rushing for BYU. Who's the running back? What is the running back situation? Who's the guy that needs to play? Is it still by committee? What needs to happen there?
To me, it should be Chris Brooks. I mean, I think Chris Brooks is BYU's best running back. I think that he's I don't get why he's been kind of pushed to the wayside, because he had some struggles against Baylor and Oregon, who've got very good defensive fronts. I mean, you saw last night when he was given the opportunity, he looked really good. So against two group of five teams, he's been very productive. And, it's nice that, the running back by committee approach has lent itself to showcasing what Miles Davis is capable of. And if Kalani and BYU want to continue with the running back by committee, assuming Miles Davis is going to be back next week and be healthy, I think those are your top two guys. I think that, Katoa had that nearly a costly fumble. BYU recovered it somehow. I thought it was, at initial glance, it looked like Utah State had it, and I was having flashbacks to last year against Boise State. But those are the type of mistakes you cannot have, and that's the type of thing, especially from a veteran, that can't happen. So I would lean Chris Brooks 1 and Miles Davis 2, or 1A, 1B if you're going to go with the running back by committee approach.
Do you think that with Miles Davis, where he's a younger guy, Brooks is going to graduate, if all things were equal, would it be better for BYU to play the younger guy, to give him more experience that helps him build for next year and beyond?
It's a great point, because I think that there is it's not a sizable gap between Brooks and Miles Davis. I think that just Miles Davis is still, learning the position a bit. I feel like he's gotten very comfortable. I mean, he's played some big plays, But I just think that, you know, that could play a part. I mean, I think that's a fair question. And I thought, you know, Chris Brooks has dealt with a little bit of hamstring tightness, but it didn't seem to be an issue this past, last night. So I think that, you know, I think it's okay to have the competition at every position. And I feel like outside of kicker, it seemed like BYU's been pretty true to that, where they have, you know, if someone is performing better, they will go with a different guy. They want to have competition every single day. Kalani has said that there's competition at kicker, but it doesn't seem like there's much competition because Oldroyd continues to be out there, and he's just you can't have that anymore.
Mitch Harper, our BYU insider for KSLSports.com. Of course, you can get his coverage every week. And also hosting Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio, noon to 3. You can hear that tomorrow with he and Matt Biamonte. I'm assuming some of these topics may come up tomorrow. I don't know. But also Notre Dame firing it up. He's going to be down in Las Vegas covering that as well. Mitch, thanks for hanging out, man. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Oh, I will enjoy the weekend because I am off tomorrow, actually.
Oh, that's I forgot. Dude, yes, this was my favorite weekend of the entire freaking year. When I hosted this show, I can't believe I would have forgotten about it.
So they're preempting Cougar Sports Saturday for conference?
I mean, they'll call them up if they you know, postpone conference. But
get a rain delay
Mitch,
on conference.
My heavens, get yourself some get yourself a sandwich and hit the couch and enjoy the rest of the weekend, man. Thanks for hanging out.
Hey, thanks, guys. Take care.
There you go. What Mitch is a little bit is he mad? A little bit salty? I mean, it's not good to watch bad football, but I don't know how bad the football's been. It's just been a lack of preparation.
That game last night was sloppy and
pretty
boring.
Ugly.
And
that's a quote. That game last night was sloppy and boring and that's what it was. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. I told you, I'm gonna let a 30 seconds for us to be able to talk about kickers. That's as much as I'm gonna let it happen. So stay right here with us. More to go. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. Yes. Oh, the wind just kicked up a little bit here, but it is beautiful weather down here in Nephi, Utah. We're at the Juab County Fairgrounds. We come here twice a year. One of those times a year is to talk about the Extreme Bulls. And you got tickets, of course, that people can get right now. Ute Stampede Rodeo, UteStampedeRodeo.com. UteStampedeRodeo.com is where you can get it. Scott, I told you we're going to allow ourselves, for all the talk that everybody was so upset last night at Jake Oldroyd and kicking, and it's a pretty simple equation. Guy didn't make kicks, then they're not your kicker anymore. And so I'm going to give you a.
Oh, it's a simple solution.
I'm going to give you a short 20 seconds.
Guess
here.
What? And it's not get rid of the kicker.
Okay, oh, really?
This guy's kicked. He's made kicks before. He's been very consistent. Very
currently
accurate.
1 for 6.
I know,
his last
but
six.
But it's obvious what's going on, right? Own head, clearly, because he goes, what did he do? He duck hooks a couple of kicks against Baylor. So then he goes, okay, I'm going to go. Well, I don't want to duck hook it. So then he pushes it, right? So he's telling his mind where to kick the ball, and that is don't duck hook it, so he pushes it. So he's capable of talking himself into something, and really it's a bad result, right? So he's got to just shut his mind off. Stop thinking. It's very –
I'm not –
I'm not joking.
All you got to do is make it, kid.
No. All you got to do is stop thinking about a result before you're even doing the action, right? If you want to think about something, there's a target. Focus on the target. End of discussion. Don't think about anything else. You know how to kick. Just kick to a target. It's amazing when we just stop our minds and we go, okay, I gotta do this. I gotta hit that will call sign right now. And you just look at it and boom, you hit it. And you don't
think
about it.
See, you did the throwing motion.
Well, of course
I did. We're
talking
about kicking. He did the throwing motion. See,
it's the same motion. I can't kick to save my life, but I can throw it.
97.5 KZNS FM Colville, 1280 KZNS AM Salt Lake City. This is 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. We're right here.
with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keering, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Last night.
The food trucks have shown up
here. We're down here in at the Juab County Fairgrounds. You know what's funny is we're talking to Wade Garrett. He's one of the grand poobahs of the rodeo down here. And he said, well, look, it's Juab High School's homecoming. I went, oh, okay. Who do you play if you're Juab High School? Wade?
Canyon View.
Oh, Canyon View. Oh, they hate those guys.
Juab's pretty good. They got a good little program here.
Well, that's as condescending as you get. What a good little program we got.
Nice little program here.
That's what a bunch of BYU fans said to Utah State fans before the game started last night. You guys got a nice little program. I know you're kind of struggling right now. All right. We've got a lot going on here. We're going to kick off the show. As always, the show brought to you by G2G Bars, preservative-free, found in the refrigerated section of your grocers at Associated Foods. You can get them at Maverick. You can get them at Holiday Oil. And they are fantastic protein bars. They're not your they're not your protein bar that tastes like gunk. They've got that beautiful nut butter situation going.
They're amazing.
Fantastic. Joining us on the program right now, as he tends to do from time to time, Dave McCann, BYU TV, also contributed to the Deseret News on the show here. Look, we just got off the horn, and we tried to help people understand, Dave, about positivity. And you're usually Mr. Positive about it. What do you get positive out of that game last night for BYU? Aside from that, you ended up escaping a rivalry game with a win. What did you see last night that you liked out of BYU?
Well, you know, every team that's 3-2 wishes they were 4-1 across the country. So to be 4-1, you know, some trips there were attractive and some not so much. But through your first five games, if you won four of them and you're in the top 20, that should be your general overall fan attitude of, hey, this is a fun football season. You know, that a lot of folks were disappointed by a lot of the things that you guys talked with Mitch about. But in the end, it's hard to win football games, and to win four or five of them, getting ready for Notre Dame on KSL TV, NBC around the country. This is big, and it's a good time, and it's a good time to get an extra couple of days to get ready for that game. And so I agree with there were things that were like, come on, in that game last night. But in the big picture, you want to be 4-1 going to Notre Dame, and they are.
So we talked briefly about the kicking situation with Jake Oldroyd, and I'm just curious to get your thoughts on how you feel about that.
You know, you can't miss five of your last six and keep your job. And that's a tough spot for Kalani because there's no guarantee that Justin Smith's better than Jake Oldroyd. And he said after the game they're going to have a competition through the week. That's what you have to do. Sometimes it pushes a guy to get better, and sometimes it pushes the guy behind him ahead, and the rest is history. I think we're seeing Chris Brooks running harder because he's being pushed for carries by Miles Davis. Maybe that'll help Oldroyd or catapult Smith, but it's so tough. When you go to Vegas, you can't be gambling on special teams, and unless they get it fixed in practice this week, that's exactly what they're doing. Two chances to kick field goals that were perfect snaps, perfect placement, and you just missed. And, you know, you just can't miss five of six and keep your job.
Dave, we were, of course, watching this game last night. I think a lot of anticipation of a Utah State team that was limping into this one, quite literally with Logan Bonner being out. And so I think that's part of it, right? Fan expectation can kind of be unreasonable sometimes, but it's also fan expectation, which is, you know, just by its nature, it's going to be pretty high on a team that I think people expect a lot out of. Jaren Hall, Mr. Consistent and pretty exceptional. When you talk about what this guy has done so far in this year, 12 touchdowns and one pick, and that first pick came in the first game of the season. So your estimation of Jaren Hall and what he's doing right now on a level of what we've seen BYU quarterbacks do before, where does he compare right now? We're only five games in, but where does this season sit right now for Jaren?
You know, we asked Mark Wilson that question on game day, before the game, and he said he compares Jaren to Zach Wilson. Similar height, similar success. Hall certainly faced tougher competition. But that's the comparison that Mark went with, which I thought was interesting and made a lot of sense. I think what impresses me the most about Hall, and Scott can chime in on this as the resident quarterback here, he's managed to do this without his two-star receivers ever on the field at the same time. And he's managed to find the hot hand in each one of these wins. It's been a different guy, whether it's Epps or Roberts or even Puka in the first game, or Keanu Hill against Wyoming. He just has been able to distribute to a whole lot of guys and find the key playmakers who weren't the playmaker of the week before. And I think that speaks volumes about Hall, that he's done all of this and he doesn't throw it to the other team. And he's played some decent competition, very good competition with Baylor and Oregon, didn't turn it over at Oregon. And then he's distributed it to guys. And if Puka and Gunner are ever on the field at the same time, I think it'll be interesting to see where this offense goes from there. But, man, when you can find an underclassman and feed him the ball on his hot night and do it consistently to everyone that Roderick sends out there, I think that speaks volumes about the quarterback. What do you think, Scott?
No, it's a great point. It takes so much to trust a guy in a game situation. You know, it's one thing when you're in practice and you're working without any pressure in the game without really great, you know, defense, and then you get in and you're going against really stiff competition, and you got to know that guy's going to be where he's supposed to be, and he's going to make a play for you. And you see a lot of guys don't. You know, they drop the ball, they bat the ball up in the air, it ends up with a lot of interceptions. And it is a true Jaren to find that trust and to be able to get the ball to these guys and make them play, you know, and allow their talent to come out. I've always been a big believer that injuries just create depth. And when you know, it's a little bit of a setback in the moment, but some of these guys that normally wouldn't be getting opportunities to play are kind of thrust into the spotlight, and they're getting valuable game minutes and they're making big time plays, and now when everyone's back and healthy, as long as everybody can get along, it just creates more depth, and you become more dynamic as a team. And you know, I've seen that throughout my whole experience in football, that it just makes you a better team at the end of the day. To go back to Mark Wilson, because I'm not going to argue with him, right? Mark knows what he's talking about. I'll just add to his assessment of Jaren. Jaren is, I think, much more athletic than Zach, certainly a lot faster. And we haven't seen a lot of that, and I know they're trying to stay away from that as much as possible, but there's an athleticism to Jaren Hall that's the notch or two or maybe even three above a kid like Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I think Zach
I just want to know a little more.
Dave. Yeah.
Like,
go ahead.
I just like, you always have something interesting to come on the show yet, and we're just doing football analysis here. I want to hear you always have an interesting idea up your sleeve. I just want to know what it is.
Well, I'm just glad to know the wedding went okay last week and that you finally came back. And working on a Friday night. It's the great weekend one of the greatest weekends of the year with General Conference, and there's games tonight, and BYU's game's already over. This is just a good afternoon to be hanging out with you guys. I don't have any new revelations.
Well, No. Leave that up to the pros for the revelation part. Because
exactly.
One of the things that happens too with this, you know, the thing that really stands out when you brought that up about Notre Dame playing on KSL television, it's the one time that you get, and they've only played each other nine. This will be the ninth, I think, game between these two teams in the history, and who knows when Notre Dame will ever allow BYU to play them again. You know, heaven forbid that they live up the contract, but in the end, it's the one time that we get to have all the people who email us all the time and go, why isn't BYU on KSL anymore? I can go, it is this weekend, and so at least there's that side of things that you don't have to deal with now. But as you look at this game, though, with Notre Dame, I mean, they've certainly underperformed too. Their fan base is reeling and struggling with the idea that their team isn't a playoff contender. They lost two games, you know, right off the bat of the season. And we just watched a whole video about, you know, that Nick Saban did of, you know what, fans are can be really, really tough because you lose two games at this level of college football and people write you off and go, you guys aren't anything. But that he said those two lost teams in particular are very, very dangerous because now they're coming after everybody because they don't necessarily have a lot to lose.
You know, and I don't know about underperforming in these college games. Maybe fans expecting more. A lot of us expected to see BYU play a cleaner game because that's what Kalani had talked about all week long coming out of the Wyoming game. And, you know, you get an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old there jumping off sides or a cagey veteran like Fautea jumping off sides. I think that the performance is what's your record and what do you have in front of you that's still possible? If BYU had squeaked out victories to get to 4-1, I don't know, would the fans be was thrilled to death that they're 4-1 and in the top 20 going to Notre Dame or how they got to it at this point? The Utah State game is not the most motivational game. They've been awful this whole season. UConn would have beat them if their quarterback hadn't gotten hurt in the first quarter. The numbers are awful for stopping the run and all those things. But they come down in this game, and Utah State played great last night. And Lagarde was, you know, an Orem Tiger, so you expect nothing less. But he he took a beating, and he just kept going. He ran the ball 19 times. And like, dude, you're going to get yourself killed. But that's what he did at Orem High. He ran for over 2,000 yards while he was throwing for 10,000 to Puka and those guys. But Utah State played their best game of the year, and BYU didn't. And we were talking about this on the postgame show last night. It's like, why do we feel like it's our problem that we feel unhappy? It's not the football team's problem. They're 4-1. And as Scott will attest, it's hard to win every week. That's why no one goes undefeated. Georgia fans were up in arms by the team they beat last week or the week before that they didn't kill. And it's like, it's what makes this game. No one knows what's going to happen with Utah and Oregon State tomorrow. It's what makes this game great is I'm not sure what's going to happen. Vegas says this team's going to beat this team by 24 points. And they probably could have had a penalty not been called late in the game and those field goals been made or a touchdown scored when BYU slammed on the brakes with 8 minutes to go with their offense. I don't know, but what is the magic is I'm not sure what's going to happen. And I'll tell you, if BYU doesn't play defense against Notre Dame like they did against Baylor, Notre Dame's going to ram the ball down their throat. But BYU's capable of playing that kind of defense. Where they struggle is dealing with a spread offense because their linebackers, two of them are off the field, and they got more DBs in, and their strength, as we saw against Baylor, was line it up and smash it at us. We hold you to 20 points, we can win that game. Notre Dame's more of a traditional – if they come out in the spread, then you know they watched the game last night. But they're more of a traditional, we're going to line it up and run it at you, and that's strength against strength. And then that's different than Utah State, certainly different against Oregon, where BYU could never adjust. So the game suits BYU better with the style. Styles make fights in Vegas. And Notre Dame and BYU are very similar. And Notre Dame likes to run the football and can BYU stop the run? Well, they can't stop the run against the spread. But Notre Dame doesn't run the spread, and that's what I think makes this one intriguing, which goes back to the beginning of this rant. You just don't know what's going to happen, which is what makes it so great. But I don't know if that 22-year-old kicker has had a good night's sleep last night, and he's going to make that kick or catch that ball. But we all find out together on national TV.
Yeah, I don't know that the kicker slept in a month, it's a great point because you've got thank goodness, right? Thank goodness that we don't know the outcome. Thank goodness that unusual things show up and we get all bent out of shape about it. But that's what makes it exciting. That's what keeps it interesting. Rivalry games do funny things, and people need to realize that regardless of what it just does. And you know, you have a short week that impacts things. they have a quarterback change at the last minute. You know, they're fired up. They're rallying behind a guy for half a game, for maybe a game. They can, you know, who knows, make something happen. And quite frankly, BYU could also be going, yeah, we're really looking to Notre Dame in a few days, and we're kind of possibly looking past this game, because 19-year-old kids think about a lot of things I don't think any of us want to know. And those minds kind of go all over the place. And so, you know, anything's possible. And that's exactly why we play the game. I'm really curious, though. Do you want to see this rivalry continue with Utah State?
You know, I love these rivalries because, you know, we've all spent our lives in these states, in this state. And it's fun to have guys playing against guys they played in high school with and all that. But I don't see it continuing for a long, long time. I see this rivalry going the same way that Utah went with their rivalry with Utah State. Like, not ever again is Utah going to Logan. They're just not. Is there a chance BYU might? Possibly, because, one, there's a boatload of BYU fans up there, but I don't think so. I think if you're going to play 9 Big 12 games, you're not going to Logan. You can invite Utah State down here, but they don't want to do that either, because they want to have a home and home or whatever. Same thing we're seeing in basketball. So I think it's gone the way of the Utah State rivalry. And if it wasn't, they'd put those games on the books, because they're already scheduling games in 26, and you know they just finalized 23 and 24. We could, if Utah State was a priority, they'd be in there. But also, BYU's not going to control conference weekend like they've had. And this has been a great tradition Thursday or Friday before general conference. And with Big 12 owning the schedule, they just don't have that freedom to say, let's circle this date and play here every year. They want to keep the Utah game going every year as long as possible. The Utah State game is just they're just a victim of circumstance, and BYU doesn't have the freedom of independence. They're giving up their independence, and that's one of the costs, I think, is knowing that, hey, we're going to be free every Friday night before general conference, or Thursday for that matter, and we have a TV partner that'll put us on. Those days are over. So it was fun last night, but I think that appears to be it.
Dave McCann, you can hear him, of course, on BYU TV. Watch him on BYU TV, and read his column. Every week you can get something from Dave McCann. If you're a BYU fan, it is a great follow to be able to get those articles every week. So, Dave, we appreciate it. Enjoy a weekend off, so to speak, and we appreciate you coming on the show as always, and thanks for hanging out, man.
Thanks, guys. I look forward to hearing both of your talks this weekend.
Yeah, well, Scott's will be more important, so we appreciate it. All right, we'll take the break right now.
Make yourself feel a little bit better by basking in the misfortune of others. Unrivaled presents Sucks to Be You on the Zone Sports Network.
All right, welcome back. It is 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us on the program. We are at the Juab County Fairgrounds. We're here twice a year, and this one is the Extreme Bull Riding Last Chance Rodeo for this evening. Tickets tonight, you're going to get some money off. You mentioned the radio program, and you're going to be able to get some dollars off of your tickets tonight. UteStampedeRodeo.com is where you can find the tickets as well. Come down. Beautiful night. Man, Scott, you cannot ask for – we have this beautiful view. What is that in front of us? Is that Mount Nebo in front of us?
Well, it's kind of – the peak is off to the left a little bit.
Right,
That's the tallest mountain in the Wasatch Range. By
is it really?
Mount Nebo, yeah.
Oh, in the Wasatch Range.
I
was thinking of Utah. I was thinking of all of Utah. No, that's Kings Peak, right?
Yeah, the Uintas. That's Kings a different – yeah, that's Kings Peak.
And that's a different – yeah. That's a different family.
Yeah. It's the east-west mountains. These are north-south.
No one talks much about the Ochre Mountains, and we got to give those guys some more love.
They need more credit. The Ochre Mountains are actually
pretty legitimate. I'm finally going to build my old ski resort out there. By the time we get those, all the westward movement that's out there.
Do you know how valuable copper is? Copper is in the Ochre Mountains.
There's copper in them there hills.
not in the Wasatch. It's in the Ogres.
Hey, tell him you heard it on the radio. You'll get money off. That's a promise. There you see. That's how we do it. We help people out on the way in.
People walking up.
She goes, she's like, I got you. We're already doing it. All right. Here's what we're going to do here. Scott, sucks to be you, goes like this. I roll out a couple of things. People who are doing worse than you are. Now, I will say that it does suck to be a BYU fan last night who finds everything wrong with a 12-point win against Utah State. You know, and I was one of those people, I think, when I was in college, and I was like, dude, that was a terrible game to watch. But a W, now I also went to school during the Croton era, so W's didn't come along a lot.
So you're just happy with wins.
I'm telling you,
it didn't matter.
There's something about readjusting your sights. Now, I'm not saying lower your expectations or lower your goals, but what you should do is realize kind of what the lens is you need to see that game through, which was what you were talking about. Rivalry games are weird.
Yep.
Rivalry games on a short week are even more weird.
Yep.
Move on. You got a double-digit win. And what? Here's the other thing. People are like, yeah, but they didn't cover. I was like, yeah, how many of you BYU fans actually made a bet?
Okay,
out there?
the only
you
game.
You did not bet on this game. You don't care if they cover
that
or not.
That stuff doesn't matter. But the only thing that does matter, like, because there's a subjective view of college football. And if you talk to the college football playoff committee, they go, you know, like style points don't matter. Like it literally is the quality of the opponent. Not beat them. That's all they care about. And so the quality of opponent is the one that has more of an impact. And you know, are they ranked? Are they a Power 5 opponent?
Sure.
You know, blah blah blah. That's what matters. Not necessarily the score, because I think people are smart enough. Every week's different. You know, when Dave brought up a good point about, you know, a boxing match, if it's a good matchup, it's a good boxing match, right? If it's not, it's terrible. And some teams just play matchup better than other teams, and some teams just kind of give you a fit more than other teams. So, and people know that. And they know from week to week, you just, you know, sometimes you have an off week, whatever. I mean, you saw USC. They didn't look very good against Oregon State for whatever reason. And who knows what that is.
You watched that game, by the way, and you were like, hey, look, I wasn't necessarily as impressed by either of those teams as I think everybody else had kind of talked about going into that one.
Yeah, it was it's hard. It's hard to know how teams are, especially when you play your non-conference schedule. And here USC, I mean, they scored – the fewest points they scored in a game was like 45 points. But then you look at who they played and you go, yeah, there's not really a lot there. They go to Oregon State. They're playing a quality opponent. Oregon State has a good defense. I'm not going to say they're lights out on their defense, but you know, it's a different game. And
you know what?
You just don't know until you just get on the field and you match it up with people.
I had a weird epiphany. Let me bounce it off of you.
All right.
If BYU were undefeated, let's say they had beaten Oregon.
Yeah.
And they were undefeated going to that game last night. When you're undefeated, you do just escape.
Right.
Like every game becomes. Yeah. Do you think people's attitudes would have changed when you go, yeah, but you know what? Still undefeated.
BYU's not going to go down in the polls. Like this week, they're not going to go down in the polls. They're going to they won, and there are teams that are ahead of them that are going to lose, and they're going to move up in the polls.
But you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Isn't it funny how when teams are undefeated,
right?
Because USC last week, I don't know how much their fan base is going, oh, dude, we're not that good. Actually, you'll have probably some people doing that because USC has a higher expectation.
Sure.
Buffy, how many points did we score last week? 17? Well, who were we playing?
We must have had the flu.
I didn't know Oregon State existed in the conference. Oh, it's not going to in the future? Well, that's good news. Oh, we aren't either? Good. I didn't want to play them anyway. 17 points for USC last week. But they escaped with a win. There's this whole thing that all season long, escaping with a win when you're undefeated is kind of the theme. And escaping with a win, when you're 4-1, then everybody's just fighting back for that relevance. Yeah,
and
that relevancy.
Everyone knows that it's hard to go undefeated. Like, it's just hard.
I'll tell you who it sucks to be right now. Now, it sucks to be, like I said, it sucks to be you is a segment where you just kind of think about how great things are going for you because other people's lives are struggling right now. You know who it sucks to be right now, Scott?
Please tell me.
I mean,
I have some ideas.
Well, there's a lot of people, but certainly Brett Favre is not doing well. every day there seems to be a new revelation as to how bad it was with the amount of money that was taken from the poorest country or the poorest state in our country and taking that welfare money and giving it away to either yourself or the university that your kids are attending and that you attended. It's not looking good for Brett Favre, the misusing of funds. Every day we seem to find out a little bit more. But, hey, he was throwing it at athletics at least, Scott, at Southern Miss.
So nothing about any of this looks good?
Zero.
Like, it's just so bad, and it's just beyond bad.
There's no
and,
yeah, but. There's no, no yeah, but to this.
Right. And Brett Favre was a guy who, he was the poster child for the NFL. And he was built up to be the just the tough, gritty, fun-loving Southern, you know, aw shucks guy that could throw the football a country mile, the jokester, the, you know, just the fun-loving guy that everyone loved to have on their team. And underneath it all, you know, there might be some things that aren't so fun-loving and redeemable. Because you get involved in things like this, you have to know if you're breathful. You have to know. And it just – it sounds and looks – it just – the optics of it just looks so bad.
How about the text
messages? So bad.
How about the text messages that say, hey, no one's going to find out about this,
right?
Anytime you have to send that to anybody, I don't care who it is.
Right.
Whatever's going on.
Yes.
It's not good. Just – that's a little rule of thumb here for you, Scott. If you ever have to say, no one's going to ever find out, unless it's a surprise birthday party.
We live in a world – where nothing sacred.
No. Nope.
Nothing is hidden. Like, there are cameras everywhere.
Yep.
Don't go away. Photographs don't go away. Video, all of it does not go away. And it is condemning because it's not like you can go in and erase the text message and write it a little differently. And you think you can get – now, there's one person who got a – Hillary Clinton, she was the one person – who got away with?
Oh my gosh!
She whatever bleach bit is, you know, more people need to get a hold of that, whatever that is.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, but other than that, everyone else, you're
Scott going the rare political move.
So just know, I was just being funny. So just know, you put it out in public.
Yeah, but not me.
Public.
I hit delete.
Public. No,
Scott, I hit delete. I'm fine. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I hit delete. 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 Delete.
There's
and then
the
you
thing.
Go in, and then you go in, Scott,
listen,
and then
Alex,
you delete from the deleted messages. Then you're good.
Well, right. No, but here's the problem. Like, if you even have thoughts today, it ends up on your phone. Like,
oh, my heavens.
Yeah,
we were talking about Oreos yesterday.
I know.
Both of our Instagrams lit up with,
yep, it's like,
hey, fat guy, you want some Oreos?
Oh, you wanted Oreos. Yeah. So be careful what you think, even in public. See, that's why I'm telling you about Jake Oldroyd. He just got to stop thinking. Just
it
stop.
Does, it does suck
in
to
fact,
be
you
Jake
know
Oldroyd.
What? I'll tell you what you do. They need to put an Oreo cookie right in the middle of the net.
Oh.
At,
well, they got those
at,
hands.
At the BYU Stadium.
They got
stadium.
The All-State hands
Just kick
there.
The Oreo. That's all you got to do. Just kick the ball to the Oreo.
But kick the Oreo, get the Oreo.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Fine. Hey, Jake, if you hit inside the uprights,
okay.
You don't even have to hit, like, a certain spot. Just hit
you
the net.
You run over to the sideline, you got a guy waiting with
you're
some
gonna have. You're going to have a bag of Oreos.
And a glass of milk.
And a glass of
on
milk.
On the sideline. And as a kicker, you can do that. Yeah. You can eat that on the sideline. All right, let's take the break here. I'm trying to think of other people it stinks to be right now. It's a lot of folks. Oh, yeah, KD, that was one that came up. Kevin Durant complaining on social media and across. You know what? I'm getting a bad rap. And complaining also about the drama that was going on in the offseason.
Right.
By the way, he created the drama.
See,
I think this is a guy who lives for this a little bit. I
actually think there are people that like the drama.
He's one of them.
I mean, he's a guy that responds to people in social media. He's a guy that gets pretty hostile with texts and with comments. And there's something in his psyche that he's got to, kind of be the center of the universe. I believe that's part of why he left the Golden State Warriors and just said, you know, I need to be the guy to win the championship. I can't be a part of this team thing because my legacy says I'm the best thing that ever happened.
All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. We got more to go.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keering, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
What's up, everybody? Welcome on in. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. We are down here in Nephi, Utah, the Juab County Fairgrounds for extreme bull riding. Starts in a couple hours here, so you want to get your tickets. Extreme bull riding at the Ute Stampede Rodeo, utestampederodeo.com. So we've enjoyed our time down here. As always, beautiful night, and we were worried because we're like, oh, man, the wind's kind of kicking up, but this is, like, beautiful, Scott. We finally got to the point where it feels a little bit like fall. You know what else feels like fall? Friggin' football, dude.
It's fall weather for sure.
How about a perfect weather day that is forecasted for Utah and Oregon State tomorrow at a noon kick at Rice-Eccles Stadium? That's where we're going to start things off here on the program. Let's kick it off with the cut right here at the top of the hour.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by, as always, and the show brought to you by G2G Bars. Preservative free, no additives. These are delightful protein bars that you want to try. If you're doing the meal replacement thing, I'm telling you, there's nothing perfect. There's nothing more perfect than a G2G bar in your refrigerated section of your Associated Foods, Costco, Holiday Oil, Maverick, etc. So give it a shot. Scott and I both sign off on these things. They are delightful. Scott, let me see here. Tomorrow, Oregon State and Utah. You told me on the way down, you said, look, I've been watching this Utah or this Oregon State film, and what you particularly watched that Oregon State USC game. I think people who read the box score like I did and didn't see much more than just a handful of highlights of that game. I saw the extended highlights of that game, and I thought, you know what? Man, their defense looks really good. What am I seeing about this Oregon State team, or what are you seeing about this Oregon State team that makes them gettable tomorrow? I think that Utah's in a really good spot because they're coming off of a massively emotional, almost program-changing win over USC that turns into a close loss to the Trojans. What are we getting tomorrow at Rice-Eccles with Utah State or Utah and Oregon State?
We got to remember something about their game, Oregon State's game against USC. The quarterback threw four interceptions. I mean, in that game, and they were painful ones too. And
Oregon State's quarterback,
Oregon State's yes. Chance Nolan, who plays great. I mean, he had a game last year
against Utah.
Yeah, he's really turned into a really good guy. He can run the ball against you, but he typically throws the ball pretty decent. And you know, a couple of the interceptions were tipped, and one guy just made a great play on, and the other one he just didn't throw very well. But you know, he's a good quarterback, and he can. He can make plays and he can beat you. And he did Utah a year ago. He did an excellent job. What they did against USC is USC just didn't get a lot of big explosive plays down the field
that they had been getting
and
all year.
You know, yeah. You'd see them and they'd have catches and runs and they'd have a lot of these big plays. And so very athletic in the secondary and do a lot of different things. You know, show you a lot of different looks and they match up well. With you know, that from an athletic standpoint with USC, they just did a tremendous job. And USA was able to run the football, but they just really made them go all the way down the field, march all the way down the field to score touchdowns. And they just did an excellent job of holding USC in check. Now the other side of it is they also were great at getting pressure on Caleb Williams. I mean, he was kind of running around for his life a little bit, and they with just four-man pressure, you know, so you can play coverage and you get pressure on a quarterback, and that's a recipe for success defensively. Quite frankly, they should have beat USC. They played better than USC, and they just had the turnovers, and it just really hurt. But they're a very, very good football team.
Four turnovers, and they ended up losing that thing by a field goal. Yeah. I mean, it was 7-3.
And it was late, you know.
USC had 3 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was 7-3. Oregon State was leading this thing. And you thought, USC has 3 points. Oregon State's dialed something up special here. Jonathan Smith is doing something different with this team, and that is they've turned a corner as a program. They ended up with a winning record last season. Of course, their biggest win of the season was probably that Utah game at Oregon State last year. And Utah remembers this one. I mean, this is nothing to sneeze at here, too, because Utah does treat this like a, you guys beat us last year. We made some mistakes at your place. You guys capitalized. They scored 42 points on the Utes last year. So tell me how much that factors in. They keep saying, oh, yeah, this is a revenge game, and I always roll my eyes at that. But these players really do take it seriously that they want to get this one back because they didn't get it last year up there in Corvallis.
So it's not only the players, but it's the coaches. And quite frankly, I think it's part of why their success at Utah, because there's this, you know, there's a pride in how you play football and how your programs run and what you do and the identity of your team. And Utah's a tough physical team that's going to run the football first. They're going to play great defense, and they didn't do either of those things very well. You know, they didn't stop the run. They didn't play that great defense. And that doesn't sit well with anyone. It doesn't sit well with Kyle Whittingham. I mean, you know, you talk about Kyle Whittingham being a tough, very competitive person, but Morgan Scalley is about as competitive a person as you'll ever find.
Sure. Yep.
And he takes a lot of pride in what happens there. So not happy about it. And they, you know, Utah wasn't happy about its game against Florida at the beginning of the year, and you saw the turnaround in this defense and what happened. So the revenge factor, or you know, kind of redeeming yourself factor of this game is certainly a real thing. Should be a really good crowd. It's at home. It's going to be an electric environment, and it's one of those games where there's nothing in Utah that says we're overlooking Oregon State. They know Oregon State. It's got everybody's full attention, and they know that they're going to have to bring it and play a tough football game in order the game. It all starts in the trenches, and I think that's what Jonathan Smith has done at Oregon. You know, he's been a guy who they are tough in the trenches. It showed up in their game against USC. They were great in the trenches against the offense of USC, and they did a nice job, you know, running the ball, and they're probably one of the best teams in the conference at their up front front seven play.
If you were to kind of estimate here, somebody showing up and everybody out like it's a big loss. This is an NFL caliber guy,
probably your best player. I mean, really, on offense, probably the best player.
But listen, on the way down, we were talking about this, and you said, hey, but I'll tell you how excited you should be about Dalton Kincaid as a tight end. And when it comes to being a playmaker, it's a guy, no slouch, you know. This is a guy who it wasn't just – he's not barely getting some reps because Brant Keithy's been in there. He's been part of that two tight end set that's been so huge for him. What they're asking for is for there to be a Dalton Kincaid and another tight end who appears to be this Yasmin character who is really, really good. I mean, just another, well, like, long list of good tight ends that Utah has.
So Brant Keithy is a hybrid player. So he's kind of a wide receiver. He's kind of a tight end, kind of a little bit of fullback, kind of a little bit of offensive line. I mean, really, but he's a super athletic guy that's just very versatile. They don't have a guy that's Brant Keithy right now. And I don't think and they're okay with that. So when you replace Brant Keithy, it has to be with multiple guys.
Right.
Thomas Yasmin's more of a tight end. You know, he's more in the line of Dalton Kincaid than he is Brant Keithy. And I'm not so sure that Brant Keithy was more of a wide receiver than he really was tight end. So you're going to have that Thomas Yasmin production, but you're also going to have more production in the wide receiver area. And Utah's got a lot of folks to line up to do that. You've got Solomon Enos. You've got Devon Vele. You've got Money Parks. You've got some other Micaiah Cope. You've got some other guys that potentially can have it, who, you know, saw some reasonable action last week in the game. I mean, he's got probably the top-end speed of anyone on the team, and he's a guy that they'll figure out ways to get him involved in what's happening. You have Cam Rising. You know, Cam Rising is a weapon. And so you're going to see more production there. You've got a lot of really, really solid Running backs, there's plenty of opportunities for people to fill in the gap left by Brant Keithy. And what it means, it just means other people are going to get an expanded role in the offense and more opportunities. The thing that concerns me is that formation with Brant Keithy, Dalton Kincaid was Utah's best running formation a year ago, and it's been that same best running personnel that they've had this year. And that's the thing that's going to be, you know, can Thomas Yasmin fill in that blocking responsibility that Brant Keithy was actually really good at?
If you're one of those people who, you know, has watched this Utah team kind of progress through the weeks, we've had the same question. I mean, the sample size we have is four games, right? I mean, when you look at it, you go, all right, Utah's 3-1 after four games. And there have been times, though, that you and I, even this week, have said, not really sure who this Utah team is. So the question is what do you want to see this week to be able to say, okay, I think we now know who this Utah team is, or that we're getting a little bit closer to seeing who Utah is as a football team?
Well, I would love to see Utah start out with some tempo. They did it last week against Arizona State. It was effective. It really got Cam Rising going earlier in the game. It got a lot of people more involved, and you're going to have more people involved because of the absence of Brant Keithy. And so getting whoever is going to get more production an opportunity to touch the football earlier is going to be a good thing. But you really have to, if you're Utah, you got to see, can we stop the run? And that was a thing that was a problem a year ago. Utah's been amazing at it these last three football games. I mean, you talk about just dominating performances. Now, they've been all against lesser opponents. One has been a conference opponent, Arizona State, but that Arizona State's a dumpster fire. So I want to see a really good performance against a good team. And that you know, it feels like you had a really athletic, really tough opponent at first of the year, right? They had athletes. And then every opponent, you kind of dropped at the bottom of the barrel, and you're just working your way out of the barrel. So SUU was not good. San Diego State was better. Arizona State was better. And now Oregon State is better, and you just want to see that Utah play better against you know, good competition that'll get better and better, because they're going to go to UCLA next week, and they're going to play USC the week after that. So it's really Utah to show up against a quality opponent.
This weekend, you're at home. You get a lot of folks who are looking at this one, and they say, okay, this was one we saw on the schedule, not just as being a revenge game, but Oregon State's on the rise. Jonathan Smith does something different with this team. What do you like that Oregon State does that could be a problem for Utah tomorrow? I mean, facing off against this team, you know that they're going to be tough, which is, you know, as you've said before, is sometimes a little bit of a backhanded compliment, because it kind of shows, yeah, maybe that means you don't have as many of the athletes as a USC or somebody else would have, and Utah's been compared to that sometimes. These are two teams who probably their biggest reputation in this conference is, oh, Oregon State, they're tough and gritty. Utah, toughest team you're going to face all year, one of the toughest, grittiest teams. Cal Whittingham gets his guys up. So what actually makes you a little bit nervous about a game like this with the Beavers coming into town?
Well, I think the thing that makes me nervous, because I really think Utah will show up and execute offensively. They're gonna, it plays into the strength of Utah, run, play action. Those will be big plays that you can get against Oregon State. Oregon State's going to try to run the ball. That's been a strength of Utah for pretty much most of the year. So you feel comfortable about that. But the thing that really makes me nervous above anything else is special teams. And that was the difference in the game a year ago. This last week against Arizona State, Utah had a couple of kickoff cover errors. You saw a little bit of the there might be a soft spot in some of that. Oregon State blocked a punt a year ago that really turned the whole game around, turned the whole complexity of the game around. And I think it's, you know, it's one of those that Utah really special teams wise, and Oregon State's pretty decent team. So that gives me some pause for concern, and it'll be interesting to see how that is. The other thing, it's the time of the game. You know, having it at noon.
Yeah, you always talk about that.
Is everybody up and ready to go? And does it take a minute for, you know, for everyone to get out there and get excited? And so, you know, that's the thing for me that I guess is a little bit of a concern, because this is a big game. This is a really important game. Oregon State is, you know, they had a tough game, but they have a chance to redeem themselves, and they have confidence because they beat Utah a year ago, so they know they can beat them. And it's going to be a dogfight.
One of the things that we talked about too was Cam Rising, and the next step this season, right? It's not just the next step in his career, next step in who this guy is or whatever. It's the next step this season. What's the next step you want to see out of Cam Rising, a guy who has had a really, really nice year so far, but it hasn't really had a breakout game necessarily? Is that something that you even care about if somebody has a quote-unquote breakout game? And is the opportunity there, because everybody talks about how good these DBs are?
There have been a couple of times this year where Cam throwing the football hasn't been totally comfortable in the pocket, and it's kind of like, do I run? Do I step up in the pocket? He's been a little bit indecisive, which has caused him to kind of have some errant throws. You know, his feet aren't completely set. He's not really looking, you know, that comfortable. And it's always happened early in the football game. So I just like to see Cam Rising get a little bit more comfortable and really kind of be firing on all cylinders from the get-go.
Here's what we're going to do.
It's 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Here we go.
Go get it. Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback.
Lewis!
And the other guy. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I cannot believe it. Welcome back. It is 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. We just got some more money off for some people who are buying tickets to the Stampede Ute Stampede Rodeo tonight.
Folks are showing up.
Extreme bull riding. Do you think they'll let us in the green room over here? Maybe get some.
I sure would like to try at some point.
I bet some of that barbecue walked over into the.
Something will be.
We don't look like cowboys. That's part of the problem.
No, we don't.
We're both wearing shorts. I'm wearing a.
There is nothing about us that says cowboy.
I need one of them buckles. Oh, you know what, though? I just said one of them.
There
right?
you go.
Does it count?
One of them there buckles?
I got to get one of them buckles.
Well, see, you got to say, you know, those cowboys, they want to stick the ride. You know,
said that. Yeah. Tracy said that. She goes, now, a bunch of these cowboys want to stick that ride. I go, woo.
Yeah, I was like,
woo.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
Man, yeah, they do. That's how you win some dollars over here. Mm-hmm. I said, drill, it's not. It's the NFL roundup.
How
Scott.
Dare you?
No. Hey, NFL, big NFL. I talk a little? Can I say something about the Tua Tagovailoa thing? Because, you know, last night, if you watch this thing, the Bengals and the Dolphins, the storyline had nothing to do with the final score. The storyline had nothing to do with how that thing ended, right?
No.
And so, in the end of everything, Tua's second concussion in as many weeks, because everybody knows that what he had last week when he hit his head on the turf and got up and basically tripped over himself before he was helped off the field, neurological system problem.
Yes.
And the Dolphins are getting killed over this thing for letting him go back out there and for Cliff. But, Scott, this is something that I think is interesting. You've played the highest level of football in the world when you were in the World League. No, when you're in the NFL. So players lie about whether or not they're okay or not all the time. Teams and even doctors lie about these players being okay all the time. What happens here? Because these players are the ones
that may be the way it used to be. It's not the way it is today. It's different today.
But even a guy like Tua Tagovailoa gets in there, and he probably lied about it last week.
Well, no, they understand more about it, like what's actually going on, but they also have more advanced understandings of how to assess it and design it. So you get a baseline test, and they do that probably at the beginning of every season, so they know what your normal brain function is. And then they go in and do an assessment after, you know, a game and say, okay, based off of what your normal He is. You're cuckoo for cuckoo or cocoa. What? You know, you're cuckoo for cocoa puffs. See, go. And see that's what they'd ask. And if you gave him a cocoa cuckoo,
or cocoa
they'd go,
for cuckoo.
Go, nah, he's not playing. See, it's all about cereal. Can you name the cereals? And if you can name cereals, then you're going to play.
Do you remember? Did you watch the replay? And he had his hands in that fencing, position. Everybody talked about how
That's a telltale sign. I don't know how he got away with it.
It's a bad look for football.
It's a really bad look for football, and I don't know how he got away with it, but. You have to be surprised, and you have to say, you know what, maybe he was showing some kind of normalcy when they did their post-game assessments. I don't know.
But see, then this happened last night, and the guy's not going to play for a long time.
It's frightfully dangerous. Like, if you get a secondary concussion, you know, so you have a concussion, you get one on top of another one, it's like
– it's tough.
It's life-threatening.
It is.
It is not a good look. It's not a good situation at all.
It's career-ending for in a lot of cases. Yeah. When these start to pile up, ask some of these local guys here, right? I mean,
yes.
Ask Austin Colley, whose career was – you know, once –
Troy Aikman, Steve Young, they all had these
Once these
issues.
Things start piling on, they get worse and worse and worse. Yeah. It becomes easier and easier and easier. And by the way, you get hit as a quarterback. I mean –
Yeah.
So – I'm actually fascinated by this because I think we've talked about it, but you didn't walk away with a lot of from your career, right? Or there are some that you
had
just
more
like,
than I knew about.
And Dan Marino's one of those guys who's like, I've had a ton.
Well, when you understand what an actual concussion is, you go, yeah, that because you understand the symptoms. And for me, I just thought, well, that's just normal, and it wasn't. Whether it's a lack of sleep and lack of focus, headaches, like aversion to light, you know, there's all kinds of things, an inability to focus, cause you go to work and during the week as a football player, you spend a lot of your time watching film, you're studying, it's like you're in school, you know, you're sitting at a desk, and a coach is talking about plays, and so you have to think, you have to pay attention, and if you have a concussion, it actually becomes rather painful and uncomfortable.
What was the protocol back then when you played? Was
protocol?
It mostly just a, hey, let's get these guys back on the
no
field?
There was no protocol for a concussion.
It's not like you played that long ago either.
There were guys that went back in games with concussions all the time.
But I mean, like, these were they when guys – there were guys in the 90s who were landing on the ground and their hands were going up like that, like Tua's did. And those guys didn't go back in the games, right? I mean, my heavens.
Johnny Morton, when I played in Detroit, got a concussion in the game, right? So I had a pass play. I threw it to Johnny, and Johnny didn't even attempt to catch the ball. And it ended up where the DB intercepted it. And Frank Reich, after the game, goes, yeah, he goes, you know, in that situation, I don't think I would have thrown the ball to Johnny because he had a concussion.
That's in the game
and
plan.
I'm like, hang on just a second. If a guy is in the game and, I, you know, it's my read to go to him, and am I going to say – and you know, it was just a funny thing, you know, that he said to me
keys
in that
to the
moment.
Game brought to you by Little Caesars Pizza, Detroit-style pizza. Hey, what are your keys to the game? I'd throw fewer times to the guys with concussion, Mike. All right, back to you.
It's serious.
What the heck, like, dude?
I know. It's crazy. So I was like – I just know I played in games with concussions, and they it was not good. Like, they weren't effective. A lot of guys go, I don't remember from this point.
Do you
point,
look at the NFL and go, shame on you, or was it just where we were with the game?
It was
point?
Understood, right? It's just it was how things were, and it's just like, this is just how it is. This is just what we do, and then that's that. So, there was no nothing about, you know. And that was normal. Like it wasn't odd. You didn't sit there and go, oh, how dare they put that guy in the game? It was more like, come on, give him smelling salts. Do whatever we have to get him back in the game. Is his concussion really that bad? I mean, damn. But the first with a concussion, and he was back one play later, and has no recollection of the end of the game. But it was just like.
But wait. He led you guys to a win, though, right?
Well, of course, the great Dan Marino leads the Dolphins to victory with a retrograde concussion,
and he can't remember what happened.
Nope.
What was great about that story is you got one play. Abso-dang-lutely. You know what? Take the whole dang bucket.
I didn't
bucket.
Have a concussion.
You have to take the whole bucket, kid. I love it. Hey, if you mentioned, by the way, that you heard this on the radio, that you heard that you can get tickets cheaper, you get them cheaper. Yeah. get some money off. Let's get these tickets with some money off. Come on, let's go. Yeah, listen, they won't let you take the whole bucket. I'm trying to hand out buckets of candy to the kids here at the Juab County Fairgrounds. Is that good? Oh, that one. That don't do that. Don't eat that one. No,
that's
no,
a wrapper.
That's a full-on wrapper right there. All right, there you go. Find some candy. Get it going. We're handing candy out to the kids here, Scott. Yeah, there you go, sucker. What were we talking about? I just had a slight concussion. You went in for one play. You throw it down the field. You get like a 40-yard
completion.
You're on the moon. And Dan Marino looks at you with cross eyes and goes, I'm fine, and then comes back in the game.
No, he just said, get out of here, kid.
That's get out of here.
He called me kid, too.
But that's
I'm not joking about that. He says, get out of here, kid.
What is he, one of these cowboys?
Get out of here,
and
kid.
And you know what I did? What?
I just
you got out of there.
Put myself between my legs. Got out
that's
of there.
That's the best part of it. Is Don Shula, you know, the head coach looks and goes, is Marino okay? He's looking at me through cross eyes. Get him in there. Get that kid out of here. Well, he just went one for 40 yards, man. Yeah, get him out of here. Yeah. Get that kid out of here. This is how the game was played. And now, Tua Tagovailoa, his career could have been cut short by that instance last night. He's going to play again at some point. But let me just tell you what happened, too. When the Dolphins are 3-0, the pressure to keep your quarterback 6 touchdowns a week before and led you to a big win over the Bills last week, the pressure is through the freaking roof, right? And so then they go, that's kept him in to play in the next week against the Bengals in a huge Thursday night game. How do you turn around a guy who had a definite concussion in the game on Sunday, and then you turn him around for a Thursday game and you go, he'll be fine? No one believed it.
Well, the coach said they checked him every day.
But that's the part that's interesting too, is that the coach looks like a total bad guy.
I know, but you would be absolutely stupid, foolish to not follow the protocols today.
Of course. They said they had independent doctors, and they have the guys. I've met the guys at the stadium who are sitting there, and they're watching the field, and they do not work for the teams.
No.
They work for the NFL,
yep.
And they come in and they go, hey, man, take that guy out of the freaking game. And when you see a guy wobbling, because right now they say if you get knocked out and your hands are up like that in the fencing position, it's an automatic you don't play. And you're like, yeah. No, duh, it should be. What about the part where he's tripping on his way? They said that doesn't matter.
That's just a cleat issue.
That's what they say. They go,
it's an equipment issue.
No, and that's what you know what these guys do? They actually come off the field and they go, what's going on? And the last thing they're going to say,
because you've tripped over your feet before. Come on.
we've
all done that.
Not like that. Not like that. Not looking like I was on a boat, right? I mean, that's the thing, is those guys come off the field, they know that their head is hurt, and they go, what's going on? What's going on? Tell me what's going on. They go, man, I just banged up my knee a little bit. That's what they freaking say. They come off, they say, my shoulder's hurt. They come off, they say, yeah, my back's a little bit sore, because they know if they say my head, anything, they're gone. And in that case, the Dolphins need to step in and help a guy out who's worth millions of dollars, and you are 3-0, and you look real dumb, Miami, when you have this thing happen, and you go, yeah, but we had Dr. on. Everybody saw that. It's a bad look for the NFL. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. Wade, are we going to chat with you next? Wade Garrett's going to come on next, so don't worry about it. He's taking the cowboy hat off. We're going to chat with him next right here at the Juab County Fairgrounds. You just go, hey, people are walking up. I've been telling people who come up, just say, hey, just mention you heard it on the radio. And they go, huh? And I go, yep, and they get money off. And then suddenly they are unrivaled fans for life. So we'll take a break here. More to go right here from the Juab County Fairgrounds. It is the final it's the final event of the PCRA season, so we're going to get you guys. This is amazing. If you haven't gotten a ticket yet, you come down and get it right here at the ticket office. You get some money off. So we'll come back. More to go right here. 2 Minute Drills next. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. The Utes square off against Oregon State in a massive Pac-12 showdown this Saturday at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Your home for the best coverage of Ute football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back. 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Couple things going on here. Failed to mention, want to make sure you do know. Online Trading Academy teaches people just like you to make the same moves at the same time of the Wall Street elites. Sign up for their three-day market timing course for only $99. Text $99 to 25029. That's $99. 25029 is the number. Scott, we're going to fire up some music right off the bat here and get things going on a Friday edition of our two-minute drill. Here we go. What is the two-minute drill, Scott?
Well, let me tell you what a two-minute drill is. Late in a football game, you got to go down the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so you hurry. Show the same way, still have a lot to talk about, not a lot of time, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry up, finish show, go home happy with a trophy because everyone gets one because we participate. And, of course, we get a plethora of desserts, which include chocolate souffle, flan for I'm pie from Florida, gelato from Italy, baklava from Greece, and, of course, someone said something about a cake from Walmart. Apparently, they're pretty good.
Yeah, it's that buttercream frosting. The
whatever.
It's a great value.
Yeah.
Buttercream frosting. Scott, our two-minute drill is brought to you also by the folks at Jerry Seiner Cadillac. Get yourself a piece of luxury. Cadillac, listen, the Cadillac has not changed. The luxury is there. The drivers of the Cadillac certainly have changed. So check it out. Test drive a Cadillac today at a Jerry Seiner Cadillac. First up on the old two-minute drill here, Scott.
Talk to me, Goose.
Rory McIlroy thinks the LIV Tour and the PGA Tour should get together and negotiate. This is a guy who said like a month ago that those people are personas non gratas to him. So is that a thing? Personas non gratas.
I don't know what it means.
Those are – well, he didn't like them. He didn't like those
– why don't you just say he just doesn't like them then?
Well, anyway, bottom line is
– I got to get my thesaurus out just to understand.
Rory says they should get together and negotiate. You know what that is? That's a guy who's thinking, using his thinking brain here. Some competition helps everybody. By the way, Rory.
Maybe that was his
goal
all
along.
You
make more money, Rory, because the LIV Tour showed up and put its foot in.
That's right.
So there you go.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he should wake up a little bit and go, yeah, we should coexist.
Look, if
here.
It's a viable thing, it's going to stick around. And competition is good and healthy for everyone. And, you know, it kind of feels like the PGA Tour is a little bit stale, so – I like new ideas. I like fresh ideas. I just like to watch majors and usually ones that have Tiger Woods in them. That's all I want.
So Dick Butkus.
I don't really care for Rory. It's like I don't go, you know what, I'm going to watch the PGA Tour because Rory's playing. Like, I don't care.
Hey, Rory's playing. He's probably going to blow some lead sometime.
I don't care.
There you go. Dick Butkus got control of the Bears Twitter account. They gave it to him. They said, hey, look, man, you're 79. You're one of our great alumni. We'll give you access to the old Twitter account. So what does he do? He does exactly what my 79-year-old father would have done at this point, too. A pocket video that is published and fumbling to show of where he is.
See, this needs
this
to be.
This is amazing.
Well,
love
no,
this.
It needs to be a reality TV show. It it's like Dick Butkus on social media. That's the best reality show you could have on television. And just show. Because, like, he was really good. But most people that era are not good on social media. So you know what that spells? Disaster. And you know what that spells? Good TV.
Yes. Disaster right. Equals good TV.
Yes. Just
a Dick Butkus reality show would be quite interesting. Attention.
This is Unrivaled. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Final segment of the program. Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We are at the Ute Stampede Rodeo, Scott, walking up here. We are moments away from this thing kicking
smell
off.
That? Something
yeah,
smells
he opened.
So
it's
good.
Because he opened up the barbecue box over there.
Yeah, well, it smells good.
There's a truck backed up to us. I think they're doing this on purpose.
Of course they are.
They're backed up to us, and he opened the barbecue box and was like, "I got to take these."
So
inside.
We drove here together. You think you'd get an Uber home?
Are you trying to stay or stick around for everything?
It smells good.
An Uber. Okay. I'll look it up on Uber, see how much it'll cost me to get home. Hey, speaking of cost, I just want to bring something up here. The Utah Jazz pregame or preseason starts this dadgum weekend.
Sunday, right?
Sunday, we're listening.
Sunday.
We're watching some preseason basketball. Who's going to be on the court, Scott? Nobody knows. Least of all the guys who are going to be playing. So that's what's exciting about this thing. The Jazz are firing up, and you have
well,
no
David Lucca, so we ask him, so who's the starting lineup? He goes, I don't know.
No, and that's the thing is I go,
I have no idea.
I was like, well, leave it up to you experts. I'm sure you guys know who the starting five is. He goes, I don't know.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Right.
You know, you go out there and go, I don't know what to expect out of this thing. There brings a little bit of an element of surprise there. Bojan Bogdanović, this is an interesting story here that I wanted to bring up in our final segment here, Scott, and that is Bojan Bogdanović apparently was – demanding a multi-year deal with a boost in the old paycheck. We all feel like we need a boost in a multi-year deal, but that was not very attractive to a lot of teams who were looking for adding Bojan shooting to their list. Some teams were
– Bojan to me seems like a guy that's like that, you know, hired gun.
Oh, and, he is and, big time. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah
so
yeah.
It's like he's kind of this – he feels like a guy that could maybe be with a team – for a couple of years, and then at this point, you know, it's like we just need a guy to come in, shoot some, you know, like Kyle Korver, you know how he got kind of toward the end of his career. That's where Bogey is. So for him to ask for a long-term deal, I don't see that with him. Yeah, I think he's too far in his career, and I think maybe his very, very best years might be behind him.
You know, I think you know what that is, Scott? That's if somebody tells themselves when they don't like that Bojan Bogdanović just left their team. You know what I think? Donovan Mitchell, we saw his best years here. You know what? Rudy Gobert, we saw his best years when they
I haven't said that about those guys. I'm fascinated to see if Donovan's really going to play defense. So that's what I want to know.
As Locke said with us this week, he goes, and he said that when he was here, though. So that year before, never did it. So we'll see. All right. We'll take the break here. Scott, good luck tomorrow on your call on that game tomorrow at Rice-Eccles Stadium, Oregon State and Utah. We'll jam on Monday again right here with you, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.